to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 1 and 2. Page 1274 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. I'll tell you, we've worshiped the Lord. I've worshiped the Lord this morning. I don't know about you. Good to meet with people and then have the Lord to meet with us. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask the Lord to bless His word to our hearts. Father, we thank You today for this privilege of meeting together as Your people today. Lord, we thank You for making Yourself present here today. Lord, we've felt Your presence, and these songs have blessed our hearts, and we believe a little bit of manna has fallen around us today, and we thank You for that manna for our hungry souls. Lord, how it nourishes our souls to get in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we know the onions and garlic of the world can't do for our souls what Jesus can do for us. Thank You for the reality there is in Christ Jesus today. Bless each one that's here. And Lord, I pray whatever the need is, would that need be met in the precious Lord Jesus today. May they look to Him. May they turn their situation over to Jesus, knowing that He has the answer to everyone's situation. Lord, bless me now as I preach and anoint me. Lord, we want to see Jesus today. Lord, they don't need to see me. We don't need to see each other. We need to see Jesus. And may the Holy Spirit make Jesus real to us today. And Lord, if somebody here not saved, or somebody needs to rededicate their life and get things right with Thee, or needs to join this church, whatever it is, meet needs today. And then, Lord, people here with burdens, and may they cast that burden on the Lord, and You sustain them. Help us and feed us. Our souls are needy. Feed us with manna sent down from heaven. Holy Spirit, would You be our unseen guest and defeat Satan. Lord, blessing our children's churches on the other building, and our preschool, and the nursery, and the junior and primary church, and we'll thank You. Now make it easy for people to come down this aisle to Jesus today. In His name we pray. Amen. Okay, certainly glad to have the Willises here with us today. Certainly glad to have you folks here today from Kingsport, along with a number. When you start introducing people, you're going to leave some out, but it's good to have everyone in God's house today. Now, you know, some people think that all we need in our churches is love. Love for Christ and love for each other. And they belittle sound doctrine and say that doctrine divides and love unites. Now, a lot of liberals and compromisers would say we can't get together around doctrine. We get together around Jesus and get together around our love for Him. And doctrine will divide us. Now, certainly we need to love the Lord, and certainly we need to love each other. And God's Word tells us to love the Lord thy God with all our heart. And it tells us to love each other, that it's a badge of our discipleship. But I maintain that there can be no real Christian love unless God the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our heart that love by the Holy Ghost, and unless that love is based on sound doctrine. I don't believe I'm able to love like I should unless the Holy Spirit helps me. And then that love we have for each other and for the Lord Jesus Christ as His people are, is based on the Word of God. Now, if a teacher would, in one of our classes, or a preacher to get up, would get up in this pulpit and deny the virgin birth, or deny the blood atonement, or deny the miracles of Christ, or deny the reality of Adam and Eve, and deny this precious old book is inspired from cover to cover, people said, ask us, what's the difference in the Independent Baptist Church and the Southern Baptist Church? There are a lot of good Southern Baptists who believe this Bible from cover to cover, but so many in the seminary's teaching do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we don't support in our church, any school, any person that doesn't believe that Bible from cover to cover. And What if somebody get in this in our classes and teach something contrary to the Word of God in this pulpit? What are you going to do, preacher? What is this church supposed to do? Well, you say, well, we ought to just go to them and say, God bless you, brother. Now let's just get together around our love for Jesus. You know, we ought to all love one. No, that's not what you're supposed to do with false doctrine. Now, we can go and say, I love you personally. If you're hungry, I'll give you something to eat. But in our classes and in this pulpit, we're not going to teach unbelief and anything contrary to the Word of God. Now, Paul said in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. We're to speak the truth and then seek to do it the best we can in love. But truth is first and then love. We need to combine both of them, however. And in all the maze of doctrinal confusion that abounds everywhere today, we need to be sound in the faith here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And you know these cults, it's on every corner. And right now, while you're here, did you know the Jehovah's Witnesses are out knocking on? They're out after the backslidden Baptists and Methodists that won't go to church this morning. Now that they know they're there, and that's where Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of them are out after them right now while we're seated here. And these cultists and liberals and charismatics won't sweep us off our feet if we're grounded in sound doctrines taught in the Word of God. Now, today I'm beginning a study of the book of 1 Timothy. The twofold theme of this book is, first of all, sound doctrine in the churches, and then proper church order. And the Apostle Paul, after he was released the first time from prison in Rome, about AD 65, wrote this letter, or this epistle, to the young pastor Timothy. Now, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are called pastoral or pastoral epistles because Paul wrote these three letters to two of his young converts who later became pastors, and he was giving them godly counsel to help them in their duties as pastors of local churches. Now, these three epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, were written with a pastor in mind, but the truths in these epistles, pastoral epistles, are for God's people of all ages and in all local churches. But this morning, I just want to get started. Most of my message will be on Sunday night in 1 Timothy. But this morning, I want to preach this first message to you on verses 1 and 2, Paul's salutation and greeting to young Timothy, found in verses 1 and 2. And I want us to just look at it a word and a phrase at a time. Notice how Paul starts it, this letter off. He identifies himself as he starts the book with Paul. And Paul begins his letters different than we begin our letters today. It was the custom in Paul's day for the writer to open his letter when he's writing someone with his signature. So Paul introduces himself as he starts this letter to this young pastor Timothy. You know, it wouldn't be a bad custom for us to go back to that today. Have you ever got a letter that nobody put their address on the outside? You open the letter and it just started off writing to you. And you had a quick look at the end of the letter to see who's writing. Well, in that day, they started off, Paul, instead of yours truly, Gene Lassley, at the end of the letter, they started off, Gene Lassley at the first, Paul at the first, or Garrett at the first of the letter. They'd started off. But then Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word apostle means one sent. And this is the official title, apostle, of the our Lord's 12 chosen disciples. They were called the 12 apostles. But then Paul was one born out of due season. He saw the Lord on the road to Damascus when he was saved, and he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he was certainly as called to be an apostle as the 12 chosen disciples. And Paul makes that claim in all of his epistles. Since the word apostle means sent one, you know, in a sense, every born-again child of God ought to be an apostle. That is, we ought to be God's flunky boys. We ought to be one sent from God. We ought to say with Isaiah of old, here am I, Lord, send me. Whatever it is. You know, we ought to, We ought to be willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. It doesn't matter what it is. Preach, teach, sing, testify, clean the church, knock on doors, anything. You know, we ought to be willing to do anything the Lord wants us to do as Christians. And we ought to be God's sent ones. We ought to be God's flunky boys. And we're sent ones because in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach," that is, win all nations. Win them to Jesus Christ, then baptize them, and disciple them. So every believer is a sent one with heavenly tidings that Jesus saves. Then Paul says, "I am an apostle," notice, "of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior." Now Paul's saying to young Timothy, "Timothy, don't think for a moment that I made myself an apostle." No, he said, I didn't. He said, "I'm an apostle by the commandment of the Lord God of heaven." Paul wasn't a usurper. He didn't take upon himself something that was just of his own making. He was called of God. And you know, every preacher that stands behind a pulpit ought to have the burning conviction in his soul that God has called me to preach. Or he ought to sit down. One of the two. He ought to sit down. If he doesn't have that burning conviction in his soul, he ought not be behind. I think the curse of this day is that we have people preaching who are not called of God to preach. It doesn't matter where you have ability or not. It doesn't matter where you have brilliance or not, or you're an able orator. If God's called you, he'll help you to do that which he called you for. I believe in a God called ministry. I don't believe in a man mama called and a daddy chosen ministry. I believe God ought to call a preacher to preach. Over 40 years ago, Bob Forever came to Bob Jones University. I'd fought it for 4 years before I ever met you, Bob. Fought the call to preach for 4 years. And down in my soul, I couldn't get away from the fact that God had called me to preach. I just couldn't get away from it. And you know, that's one of the things that's kept me going down through the years. A preacher can't make it if he doesn't have the assurance, "Well, I don't care what comes or what goes. God's called me, and I'm just going to trust him to take care of me." That's the only thing when a person goes to the mission field, that's the only thing keep him on the mission field, that God's got me here, and some way God will take care of me. And you say, "Preacher, haven't you ever felt like quitting?" I remember what Dr. Tom Malone said. He said, "Yes, I felt like writing out my resignation every Monday morning." And that's about right. Many times I've felt like quitting, but I've just sort of, like down in my soul, like Jeremiah said, he said, "I couldn't quit." There in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he said, "His word was in mine heart as a burning fire, burning fire shut up in our bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." A God-called preacher can't quit, and if he does quit, brother, God will whip the daylights out of him if he's called of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And I think that's one of the verses that finally got me in the ministry. Paul said, "Brother, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Notice now, the source of his calling was twofold. Paul said, I'm an apostle by the commandment, first of all, of God our Savior. You know, many times we think of Jesus, only of Jesus as being our Savior. And we think of God as being creator and judge, but not Savior. But folks, it's just as proper to call God Savior as it is Jesus Savior. Because salvation had its origination in the heart of God before there was ever a word. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So salvation began in the heart of God before there ever was a universe, before there ever was a world. God forgives us of our sins, and he saves us and makes us his children the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. So we who are saved today can look up, and rightfully so, look up to heaven and call God our Savior. God our Savior. Then secondly, Paul said, "I was commanded to be an apostle
First of all, by God our Savior, and second, by the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, in that title, we see Paul gives the Lord Jesus his threefold title. First, the first title he gives him is Lord. He is Lord. He is Master. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as Lord, that means Master, he should have full control of our hearts and lives. If he doesn't have full control of our lives, then he's not our master. If he doesn't have full control of our lives, he's not our Lord. Can you call him Lord Jesus Christ this morning? You know, he's not going to play second fiddle in anybody's band. You know that? He doesn't play second string on anybody's team. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And blessed is the Christian who can say, he's Lord. He's Lord. And mean it from our souls. Then notice the second word here, second title that Paul gives him. First Lord, second Jesus. He is Jesus, Paul said. The word Jesus means Jehovah is Savior, Jehovah the Savior, or Jehovah is Deliverer. And to those of us who are saved, been born again this morning, Jesus is the sweetest name in the English language. As the song says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. You know, a lot of people want to make, I believe in living a separated life much as anybody does. But you know what the Christian life is? It's just loving Jesus, just falling in love with Jesus. Just falling in love with Jesus. That's the Christian life right there. And then, if we can just get people loving Jesus, the world will take care of itself. Because you won't want to do anything to displease the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, there is a name I love to hear, love to sing its word, sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Then the third title that he gives the Lord Jesus Christ is Christ. And that title, Christ, means he is God's anointed. He's God's Messiah. He is the one sent from God. So next time you hear the term Lord Jesus Christ, it has tremendous meaning. It's not just something without meaning. Every word has tremendous meaning. Peter, in his great sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:36, gave him that threefold title when he said that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Then notice at the end of verse 1 here, Paul affirms in his salutation that he, Christ, is our hope. Everywhere we turn this morning, folks, there's despair, there's despondency, there's pessimism, the outlook for finances, the outlook politically, total political confusion, ecumenical situation is in disarray, the evangelical situation is in disarray, the fundamental situation is in disarray, fundamentalists fighting all across America, there's pessimism on every hand, there is absolutely no hope in this world for anyone outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. That's why I love the church this morning. I love the church. Now I know there's a lot of things wrong with the church. I know there's a lot of things wrong with the church. But it's still the greatest organization in the world. It's the only organization founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel sorry for people spending all their lives working for clubs and lodges and other organizations in this world and neglecting the church. I feel sorry for them. Oh, think of all the good we're doing. Yeah, but that good is far less good than you could do if you'd get involved in the work of God in his church. That's the only thing that's eternal. The only thing, and I love the church because it has a message of hope. That's why I love this old book. That old book It's the only book in the world that has a message of hope. I love that old book. Holy Bible. Scofield Reference Edition. If you look inside, you'll see a King James Version. Authorized King James Version. I love that old book. You ought to fall in love with Jesus. And you ought to fall in love with that old book. Thank God for His Word this morning. And there is no hope outside of the Christ of the Word and the God of the Word. And here in verse 1, Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. I see now, I'm not going to be hard to get out of this first verse here today. He's our hope. He's our hope. And as Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is our only hope. Our hope is not in, our hope is in no one else. Our hope is in nothing else. Our hope is in Jesus and His blessed appearing. We're looking for His blessed return. And when He appears, then these vile bodies, when He appears, I can throw away those glasses. When He appears, your body that may be this morning, you may have some health problems. When He appears, then we who are saved will be caught up into His presence and have a body like as unto His glorified body, and we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is, according to the Word of God. That's my message. I want to just quit on that first verse. That's my message this morning. It was really half my message. But if I preach all my message today, folks, we're going to be here a pretty good while. So right there, that's God's message for this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord, Master, Jesus, Savior, Christ, God's anointed, which is our hope. And if you have Jesus, you have hope this morning. If you don't have Jesus, you're here, you're seated in this main floor or in the choir or in the balcony. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have hope this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved and I don't have that blessed hope like I should. Then He's not Lord of your life. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make Him Lord, Christian, if you're going to have happiness and joy and peace and power in this Christian life. And then you need to come and get saved. Come to Jesus. Invite Him in. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then one day when the trumpet sounds, we'll be caught up to meet Him who is our hope. If the trumpet would sound right now, would you be caught up to meet Him in the air? If not, why don't you come get on your knees this morning and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm saved. Lord, I'm not sure I'm saved. Lord, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save me by Your grace. And you can leave here on your way to heaven. Walk out these doors a child of God. And I know this old-time religion works because I just went through a health problem. And Brother Bob, when I was lying there on that table before that die hit my heart, I thought if it hits my heart and I'm allergic, I'll leave this table and go to be with Jesus. The old-time religion works, brother. You can get saved and look the devil square in the face. You can be saved. Now, certainly, I'm not wanting to check in any funeral home today. But if you have to, you can look death in the face and say, O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Now that's God's message for you today. That's as far as the Lord wanted me to go. I had much more to preach. That's the message today. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Do you have hope in Christ? Paul said, if we have only hope in this life in Christ, we of all men most miserable. My friend, if you don't have hope in Jesus, you're miserable today sitting there. If that heart would quit beating in your chest cavity right now, you'd be lost for all eternity. And the Lord loves you. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Why don't you come to Jesus? He's the only one who can change you. He's the only one who can help you. I'm glad many years ago that I came forward in a service such as this, and as a young boy, 13-year-old boy, and trusted him, and he made the difference in my life. I am nothing. He's everything. And he's the only one who can help us. He's the only one who can save us and help us and keep us. And he'll do it if you give him a chance. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord, Christian. He wants to be Lord and Master of your life. If you need to make him Savior, won't you come? If you need to make him Lord, won't you come today and settle this thing? Maybe you need to join the church, or maybe the Lord called Paul to preach. Maybe God's calling you to do something. You ought to obey the call of God. How many of you here this morning can say, "Preacher, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is my hope for life and my hope for death and my hope for eternity this morning. I'm glad that I'm saved, that I'm saved, and ready to meet the Lord. He's my hope today." Raise your hand if you can say that. Raise your hand. You can put your hands back down. Most of you could say that. Some of you couldn't. Oh, the Lord brought you here for a purpose, I believe, today. The Lord wants to do something in your life. He's been wanting to do something for a long time. The Lord, I believe, down through life, has maybe led you up to this moment when he wants to maybe save you. Or if you're a Christian, maybe want to get back into the will of God or some other need. The Lord wants to meet that need today. And you would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? There is a spiritual need in my life. Pray for me. Pray for me." Now, I won't come back to you. If I tell you, I won't. I won't. I'm not going to come back to you. Nobody's going to bother you. When we say that, we won't. But I want to pray for you if you have a need today. "Preacher, there's a spiritual need in my heart and life. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm saved, but I'm not. I've gotten out of God's will. Pray for me. Whatever the need is, let me pray for you." Just slip your hand right up. Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Oh, listen, folks. You who know how to pray. There's four adults raised their hand. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. And let's pray that these folks will find hope in Jesus today. Hope in Jesus. Oh, listen, folks, you raised your hand. If you walk out of here without hope in Jesus, there's no hope out there for you. It's only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Anyone else? "Preacher, pray for me today. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need God's help. Special need in my life. Whatever it is, pray for me. Just slip your hand right up. Let me pray for you." Some of you need to come get on the altar. Turn everything over to the Lord. Make him Lord of your life. Anyone like that today? God's speaking to you about making him Lord of your life. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone for any other need? Now, with these four that's raised their hand, and I'll pray for you. Father, we thank you today for this good, sweet service. We felt your presence in the singing, and Lord, I felt your presence in the word. And Father, now we thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us just to make much of Jesus around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Because God, I can't help people. This church can't. It's only as we preach and teach Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, can we help people. And may somebody come down this aisle and get on their knees and turn their lives over to Christ today. Be saved. Rededicate their life. I pray for everyone that raised their hand, or if they didn't raise their hand, may they come. And Lord, do eternal business. Oh Lord, these four that raised their hand, may they come when the invitation's given today and leave here and find rest in Christ and leave here with hope in their soul in the Lord Jesus Christ for the future. Holy Spirit, draw men and women, boys and girls down this aisle to Christ. And we'll thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 Our invitation is come to Jesus. You know, I thank the Lord many years ago that he called me to extend this invitation, to tell folks to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Brother Sandy, it's a great opportunity. Now, I can't help you. All I can do is say, come on to Jesus. We'll help you to point you to Christ. You need to join the church or rededicate your life or be saved or just, there's some needs you need to pray about. Just come on right now. Let's stand and sing. You who raised your hand, if you will, or others, come down. Meet me right here. Settle this thing today. Come on to Christ right now. Back here, ma'am, won't you come? Just slip right out. Come on, that's right. As we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse these blood, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched one, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
You know, this segment, we'll sing the next verse. Forgive me. No, don't forgive me. I don't need you to ask you to forgive me for tears. Because see, a few weeks ago, folks, I thought my ministry was over. But the Lord's given me a new lease on my ministry. I just got on my knees. Thank the Lord that he called me many years ago. And I just want to spend the rest of my days just inviting folks to come to Jesus. Amen. So the invitation, just come on to Jesus. Isn't that a good message? Can you top that message? I don't know. I don't know anything to top that message. Do you? Just come on to Jesus. Live for him. Make him Lord of your life. Let's sing the next verse. Maybe you've got a burden on your heart and you don't want to just come pray about it. Just come on and kneel and pray. Talk to Jesus about it. If you've got a burden on your heart, or if you want to get saved. So in a crowd like this, I'm sure there's some of you that you're not saved. Or you're out of the will of God. Just come on. Let's do business, Lord. If you want to just come pray. Slip back to your seat. Come on. As we sing the next verse, come on.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse,
receive.
But that thy blood was shed.
thank the Lord for these that have come. Let's sing, "We'll Be Through When You Quit Coming." And I thank God for this service today. Amen. Amen. Folks, you don't know how it is to think your ministry is over. Like I did a couple of weeks ago. The Lord just gave me a little respite, a little bit longer. Preach His word. And I thank Him for it. Let's sing another verse. If God's speaking to you, come on. Come on.
Just come on. As I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark thought to the earth of my quest is full of
God. Okay, I've already told Brother Gary to think softly and tenderly here. Just sing one verse of this. Just one verse and we'll be through. I think we're quite through praying on this one. Just one verse. Soft, what number?
296.
Let's just sing one verse. No one else comes, we'll be closed. I thought we were through there, but we weren't quite through. On one verse. Come on, if you're coming.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See.
Saying, come on. You're saying, come. There's nothing out there for you. It's a blind alley. Let's just bow our heads, play. I said it's going to close, but the Holy Spirit just seemingly, there's maybe one or two more out there that's struggling. God wants His way in your life. Folks, there's nothing but a dead-end street outside of the Lord. If the Lord's speaking to you, why don't you just turn to Him today? Let's turn to Jesus right now. Come on. Come on down now. We'll take time to pray with you. It'll take time. Come on. Come on. Want to join the church? Want to get saved? The Lord will deliver you and set you free and save you. Seated, please.